All right, good morning, church, once again. It is good to be back to share the message of God with you this morning. Before I begin, let me share a bit of update about the youth ministry since I joined BPMC for more than a year now. Due to COVID-19, our youth ministry also went to online service. However, these situations did not stop us from our ministry training and also our cell group Bible studies. When the situations become better, some of our cell group even took the opportunity to meet up in groups of five and hang out together. Just as Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church will go on. Okay, that is all for the update. Let us begin. Have you heard of the fable of the blind man and the elephant? It goes something like this. Four men who never seen an elephant before went up to one and felt it. The first man felt its tail and said, "An elephant is a worm." The second man felt its sight and said, "No, an elephant is a wall." The third man felt its leg and said, "No, an elephant is a tree." And the fourth man felt its trunk and said, "You're all wrong. An elephant is a giant snake." And the four of them argued about it all day long. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like how it is with the religious of the world arguing about who God is today? That we only know much about God as the blind man known about an elephant with their own interpretation of their experience? Do you think so too? Today we are going to look at the Gospel of John and try to answer that question. Who is God? So if you are ready, would you stand with me as we read the scripture together from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 13. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that ever been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not natural descent, nor of human decisions, or a husband's will, but born of God. Let us pray. Father, once again, we want to thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. May everything that speak off from this pulpit is from you, of you, and about you, to bring others one step closer to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. For those who are using the sermon outline in the Oikos, you can find the answer to your questions at the top right-hand corner of the PPT as we go along. But first, let me give you some background information about the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written by Jesus' disciple, John, decades later than the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Assuming that the readers are already familiar with the content of these other works, John presents the gospel in a different perspective, with a greater emphasis on the identity of Jesus Christ through the seven miracle signs that we will read in this book. On John chapter 20, the purpose of this book at first sounds like it is written for the unbelievers to read, so that they might believe who Jesus is and have eternal life. For the Bible says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciple, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing, you may have life in His name. Now, however, if we are to read more closely, we will also realize that it is also written for us, Christians, to read. Why? It is so that we can keep on believing it, holding on to our faith until the end, which is also emphasized in John chapter 15 and John chapter 8. For it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciple. And that is why Pastor John Piper also said this: believers in Jesus must go on believing in Jesus in order to be saved in the end. Now, not only the Gospel of John is written by John, who was a very close eyewitness to Jesus, as he was mentioned at least 5 times, the disciple whom Jesus loved in this book. All these words in the Bible are also divinely inspired of what Jesus promised to do, which remind us, the preachers and the believers, to handle his word very carefully and very accurately, and always reminding the hearers to always check back with the word of God, no matter how convincing human opinion may be. In other words, Jesus chose his apostle as his representative. He saved them, he taught them, sent them, and then gave them through the Holy Spirit, through divine guidance in the writing of the scripture, to form the foundations of the church. We believe that the Gospel of John is therefore the inspired word of God himself. Which brings us to a very interesting opening of this book, remind us of a very familiar opening before the whole world began. Let me read again from verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that ever been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a story from the Eastern religions that goes something like this. A young man come to a sage or a wise man, for better understanding, to ask about what life is all about. The wise man asked the young man to go to a nearby tree and to pick the fruit. And when the young man got back with the fruit, the wise man directed him to cut open the fruit. And he did. Then he instructed him to remove one of the seeds and break open the seed. And the young man did likewise. Finally, the wise man asked, young man, what do you see inside the seed? Nothing. The young man replied, well, young man, just as that seed emerged from nothing, so from nothing is this thing we call life. The more you know about it, the more you'll find that life and its source are reduced to nothing. Life is nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you feel when you hear this? That all life is nothing? since it will be reduced to nothing, and therefore all existence come from nothing, which eventually lead us to a life that means nothing. How do you feel when you hear this? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is here that our Christian faith makes a serious departure, a difference from this Eastern religion's teaching. For it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that ever been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This series of assertions in John chapter 1 bring us back to the beginning of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Word is the creator. In Hebrew words, it sounds like this: Baharshin bara Elohim. In the beginning, God. On these three Hebrew words, everything follows. Everything makes sense. The created order does not declare nothing as its ultimate cause. No. Nor does it acknowledge it was merely a force, like the Big Bang theory of randomness that created you and me and all life we see around us. No. There is a person behind the cause, behind the created order. A person is more than just the physical. You see, a personhood involves the essence of thoughts, will, and feeling. In other words, it is a thinking, willing, and feeling entity in relationship. On top of that, John chose to call God Logos, the Word. The ancient Greek translation of the word means Logos. So your next answer is that the Word is Logos. And the idea of the Logos has a deep and rich roots meaning for both Jewish and the Greek thinkers. The Jewish rabbi often referred to God as the Word of God, mainly because of respect, as they prefer not to use God's names loosely or directly. For example, in the ancient Hebrew editions of the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 19, it was originally translated as Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet the Word of God. Therefore, in the mind of the ancient Jews, when they read the word, the phrase Logos, or the Word of God, in the Gospel of John, it was a very familiar phrase and very dear to them. On the other hand, the Greek philosophers, when they saw the word Logos, it is the power that puts sense in the world, making the world orderly instead of chaotic. So when the ancient Greeks saw the word Logos in the book of John, to them, it means the ultimate reasons that control all things. So when John uses this phrase, Logos, in the opening of his book, he is somewhat saying to both the Jewish and the Greeks, and also to you and to me today. Okay, listen to this carefully. This is what it says. For centuries, you have been talking and thinking and searching about the word, the Logos. And today, I'm going to tell you who it is. He was there before the beginning has a beginning. He was there when He created all things and makes sense of all things and sustains all things. He is that light that shines in the darkness, yet the darkness has not and will not overcome it. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word is light, just like sunlight that gives life and warmth to living things, light up their ways, their path, and makes everything clear. Without light, Everything is dead and cold and lost in the darkness. C.S. Lewis once said this, and I quote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not because I've seen it, but because by it I see everything else. Logos not only created the world, he gave life to everything. Through his light, everything has its purpose. Everything makes sense. Life makes sense through Logos." Brothers and sisters, how do you feel now? Compared to the life that means utterly meaningless nothing, that comes from nothing, to what John tells us, that not only life has meaning and were created with purpose, and also where our source comes from, and that original source that created life is powerful, for the darkness cannot overcome it. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's take a moment to pause here and reflect on this story I'm about to share with you. About this time last year, I was also preaching to you during Christmas seasons. And I recall I was sharing with you about my darkest and lowest point of my life when I first came back as a missionary a few years ago. I did not have a proper job, and still I need to provide for my family. So I was driving taxi and private hire car from day to day, trying to bring back enough money for my family. On top of that, during these periods when I returned back to Singapore, many things have changed. My best buddy had left his Christian faith. My best friend went into divorce. My mother-in-law disowned us. And my wife got trapped in the airport in Taiwan for days. And at the same time, I got into a car accident. With all this overwhelming issue happening at the same time, I was alone in my bedroom at night, looking down from my window at 14th floor, thinking of nasty thoughts. But it was then I remembered the word of God in His promise written down in the Bible. The verses that He first called me out into mission 10 years ago. And the verses that I'm still holding on very dearly during my missionary journey. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "But first, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all this will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow." Hebrew chapter 13 says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." These words, these promises was there when I was at my darkest and lowest point of my life. Well, the rest of the story is history. God, in His perfect timing, brought me to BPMC, to the youth ministry. Back to Changi, where I was first called into missions. Dr. Ravis once said, "When you want to see how is your spiritual life right now, all you need to do is to ask yourself these questions. Do you have a regular study of the Word in your private life? Do you have a regular study of the Word in your private life? For when you are able to answer that questions, it is easy to pinpoint where the issue is in your spiritual life. It is because if you don't stay close with the Word, I can tell you right now that you are wandering in the wilderness. You are lost. But if you stay close with the Word, have a deep and intimate relationship with the Word, even if your life are going through difficult times and are struggling right now, you know where the answers are, and you'll keep going to it, going back to it, to His promises, and find peace and find hope again. Stay with the Word. Know the Word. Have a deep relationship with the Word, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Even in the darkest corner of your life, this Logos will shine through it, and he will not be overcome by darkness. Stay close with the Word of God. As the saying goes, even a tiny candle can dispel the darkness of a large room. So it is with Logos, whom is the light of the world, can dispel the darkness even in the darkest corner of your life. Stay close with the Word. Let us continue to read verse 6 to 11. Let me read this to you. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There was no word. The Jews had lived in a time for more than 400 years without a prophet, since the last prophet known as Malachi. Then suddenly came a very familiar story. In the line of the priests, a very old couple who never had any children before were visited by an angel. And this angel told them that you are going to have a son. Sound familiar? I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah, the old couple in the book of Genesis, which is now happening again in the New Testament era. Now, the son that was born by this old couple was called John the Baptist. It is not the writer of this book, but the one who was destined to go before the light to come as a witness to testify about his coming to this world. Though John the Baptist's ministry was very famous and very successful during his time, many people came to him to hear his teaching and to be baptized. His ministry even caught the jealous attentions of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. However, despite all this attention given to him, to John, he never once forgot about his role, his purpose, and his subordinate to the one true light. For in John chapter 3, it says, he must become greater, I must become less. The one comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speak as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. John is not the Word. Let me give you an example of what it means. When I was serving on board the missionary ship called the Logos Hope, we have a department called the Line Up Team Department. What this department do is that they will carefully select and form a team of usually 3 to 4 people from among the 400 missionaries serving on board the ship. After the selections, they will go through some trainings with the departments for a while, and after that, they will be sent off the ship for about 3 to 4 months ahead to live in the country that the ship will eventually visit. Some of these team members were as young as about 20 years old. During their 3 to 4 months in that country, they will meet with the church leaders and the local NGOs to learn about their local ministry needs. They will also meet up with government officials to get the necessary permissions for the ships to visit. And sometimes they even had to set up press conferences to tell the country that the ship is coming. And many times during their stay in that country, they received a lot of hospitality by the local people, and they sometimes even got invited to stay in a nice big house. Now, the lab team is not the ship. The ship is the ship. When the ship comes, there will be a lot of celebrations at the quayside. The press will be there. Sometimes we will even have the prime minister or the president of the country to be our guest of honor to cut the ribbon. I even remember one time when we were sailing into Cape Town, in South Africa, there was a reporter on helicopters taking pictures of us. It was amazing. It was so exciting. Just as the writer reminds the readers, John the Baptist is not that light. Even though his ministry was very successful, many people came to him to be baptized. Even John the Baptist himself reminded his follower that he is not that true light. And when people asked him, "So who are you? Why are you doing all this?" John the Baptist replied them in the word of Isaiah, the prophet says, "I am the voice, I am the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." John the Baptist is like the light of him, preparing the people for the coming of the true light. However, that night when the light finally came into the world that he had made, no one recognized who is he. There was no reporter, no large group of people cheering, no guest of honor of that country to welcome him. There was no loud celebrations done by the world that he had made. Nonetheless, his coming is to bring good news to the world. Yet, the world was not there to receive him. To our friends, whether on site or online, who have not yet received Jesus Christ into your life, let's take a moment to pause here and reflect on the following story I'm about to share with you. Do you remember the night when Jesus was born on this earth about 2,000 years ago? There was a song that goes something like this. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. There was no loud celebrations for his coming. There was no big house for his birth. There was not even a proper bed for his head. The world that he had made did not recognize him when he was born. Just a few lowly shepherds, a few wise men, and his own heavenly choir in a manger to receive the King of Kings, who is that true light that give hope and peace to everyone in that silent and holy night. My dear friends, many people miss the coming of the true light in that silent and holy night. Today, as I share this message with you, I truly hope that you will not miss this opportunity like the people did 2,000 years ago. If you have been searching for peace and for hope, if you have been wandering in the wilderness for a long time, if you have been having recurring dreams about the cross for many nights, I want to tell you, you don't have to search anymore. He is here. The Word who was at the beginning before the world creation is here. The true light that gives peace and hope in this dark and lonely world is here. Jesus came into this world is to bring peace to you and to me. Jesus died on the cross is to pay for the sin of you and of me. Jesus risen from the grave on the third day is to give hope for you and for me. You can receive him right now, right here, if you want it. For the Bible says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or husband's will, but born of God. You can be received into God's family and become his children if you want it. Don't let this opportunity slip away like the people did 2,000 years ago. Please consider it very carefully. I will give you an opportunity to respond to these invitations during my closing prayer. God is knocking at your door right now. Please consider it very carefully. As I come close to the conclusions of a message, let me just share with you one last story that I recently read from Dr. Ravi's book, Has Christianity Failed You? A young student wanted to challenge his school. So as he was writing his PhD paper, he would make a sweeping statement and after that cross-referring it by saying something like, as told to me by the elevator operator in the restaurant. Then he will make another sweeping statement and said, as told to me by the taxi driver who drove me to the airport. When the professor read the first draft of his PhD paper, he challenged the student, what sort of paper is this? You can't just make a statement and cross-reference it with such a second-grade sources as the conversations with a taxi driver or elevator operator. Why not? The student replied, why is something more authoritative, more convincing, just because I found it in some article or in a book? The professor sat quietly for a while and think. And then he finally said, all right, we'll leave it as you have written it. Let's see what happens when you do your oral defense of your PhD paper before the school committee. Sure enough, when he submitted his paper and defended it before the school committee, they approved it. Later, he was called back to be informed that they had accepted his work, and this is what the school committee said to him. Congratulations! However, there is only one small exception we would like to make. We are granting you your PhD, but we will not be giving you in writing or in any certificate. You will just have to take our word for it. The young student was stunned, for he had made his point and lost. The faculty, the school committee has made the point and they warned. You see, brothers and sisters and friends, statements that are made may be either right or wrong, but if they are to be taken very seriously so that they can be examined and be evaluated, they must go beyond casual conversations. More often than not, that which people agree has ultimate value is put in writing form and subject to tests for authenticity, for truthfulness. Do you remember the fable of the blind men and the elephants I told in the beginning of the message? Where they use their different analogy for the elephant based on their own experience and interpretations. However, the problem with this case argument is that does the elephant has a will or not? In other words, does God has a will or not? Can God speak up for himself? Brothers and sisters and friends, the God I believe in not only has a will, he can speak up for himself, and he did. For it says in the Bible once again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God divinely inspired his people to pass down his words since the creations of the world. First through oral traditions from people to people, then through scrolls and stone tablets. And today, you and I have the complete document, Word of God, in the Bible in our hands. Having this Bible is a miracle. A scholar once said, how do the writings of 40 authors in 66 books living across 1500 years converge into the single person of Jesus Christ? The numbers of prophecies both preceding and succeeding his birth, the nature of his teaching, the purity of his life, the incredible ability to connect all dots in history, the physical nature of his resurrections, His persuasive teaching on the absoluteness of love based on God's eternal purposes and many other specifics make the debunking of this person, of Jesus Christ, nothing more than a will to try to be disbelief. The Bible documented and certified exactly who this person would be, where he would be born, how he would be born, what kind of work he would do, what manner of death he would die, and what manner of miracle his resurrection would demonstrate, and the signs of his return. The written word was finally embodied in the persons. For John continued to pen down in the word of God into the Bible and says, the word become flesh and make his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The word from the beginning not only have been penned down into the Bible and have been fully tested for truthfulness. The word from the before the beginning has a beginning, has become flesh and live among us. His name is called the Word, Logos, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is Jesus Christ that we celebrate every Christmas. The Word that become flesh. Brothers and sisters and friends, I wasn't born into a Christian family. I got to know of Jesus Christ through a movie called Prince of Egypt at the age of 17. However, since that day, the more I read into the Bible and research about this person of Jesus Christ, the more I'm convinced this is the God, this is the hero that I have been searching all my life. The more I live out his teaching into my life, and even when I respond to his calling into the mission field, the more I realize how real and how wonderful he is. Christianity will not fail you, because God will not fail you. Lastly, to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, stay close to his word. Study his word. Remember the promise in his word. Even in your darkest days, his light will guide you through the tunnel. To my friends who have not yet received Jesus into your life, this is the word of God. If you want to find out more about who Jesus is, I urge you, pick up the Bible, read the Gospel of John, read it without prejudice. And if your heart is burning right now and you want to receive him into your life, whether online or on site, you don't have to wait anymore. You can receive him today. Let us pray. Holy Father, we want to thank you for a simple reminder of who you are, what can you do, and your promise in our life. We thank you for letting us know you and being accepted into your family at the age we are in right now, so that in our walk on this earth, it's not walking in darkness, but walking with your lights that shine each and every step of our way. I want to pray for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those who have been baptized last week and joined into this wonderful family, that your word will continue to be real and relevant into their life. And each and every day, they'll be more in love with you than ever before. And for those who have yet to receive you into their life, Father, I want to give them this opportunity right now to respond to you. So for friends, if you want to receive him right now, pray as I pray, one sentence at a time together. If you want to receive him right now, you can do it right now, either on site or online. Just pray this prayer with me if you want. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your message today. Thank you for bringing me this enlightenment that you are the God that I've been searching all my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done things wrong in my life, to myself, to my friends, to my family, to you. I am sorry. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for my sin. I want to accept you into my life as my personal Lord and my personal Savior, to be in your family, to be with the rest of the brothers and sisters. Thank you for the hope of your resurrections. Thank you for coming back soon. I thank you, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please rise for the benedictions. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Father give you his peace that transcends all understanding through Christ Jesus, his Son. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide you in your going out and your coming in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and your tears, for now and evermore. Amen.